Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of The Unconventional Gal, Forging Your Own Path, with me, your host. You already know who I am. But guess what? This week we have Amanda back.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Amanda.
Oh, hi, friends.
I feel like you need like a fancy podcast name because I have Cherry Dollface as my like secondary name, but you're like, it's Amanda.
Yay. Oh, well, we shouldn't use this one. But when I was in middle school and we'd go bowling together, my name was Easy Lay. But I was definitely a virgin.
All right, Easy Lay Amanda.
No, we're not doing that.
Okay, Amanda Easy Lay.
No! I don't know. I'm just...
Maybe we'll think on it a little more.
Mangy. AJ.
AJ.
Melange.
All right.
We'll think about it.
Well, you have any
suggestions?
Like,
let me
fancy.
Know.
Fancy. Like Amanda the Dart or like something like...
Sick.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah, like the aggressive.
Dart. I like that.
I don't even know where that came from.
I don't know.
Like, I just think of you as being like little and like I could throw you and you're sharp.
Yes.
If anyone has any ideas.
Tell me.
By the personality that you have heard.
Yeah, you don't
from
know what
Amanda.
My face looks like maybe.
Spooky babe Amanda.
6969420.
That would be James. That's like his password for everything. Nobody hack him.
Literally.
Like every Wi-Fi password always has 69 in it.
I can't.
Always.
I love it.
Usually two.
But I hate it.
And like I'll be like, oh, James, Hulu logged me out. What's the password? And I'll do 169. He's like, did you do two? I'm like, oh, fuck. Got me again.
did you put the exclamation point at the end? Yeah.
Did you capitalize? So stupid.
It's a constant conversation. I get it.
So we need to think of a name for you.
Okay.
We'll think of
Let's
it later.
Let's marinate on that.
Yeah. I was thinking like, because I feel like you're
Black
like
Widow.
my podcast sidekick. It's
yeah.
like I do some of them by myself now, but you're like here
I'm
more
here.
Often. I did one last week.
Yeah.
The last one I did was just me like doing a life recap. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh man, this is weird. Just like me, just talking.
That's what the people want.
I don't know. I get good views or good listens when you are here.
Oh, that's nice.
So the people love you. Actually, the one that we did about bad dates,
mm-hmm.
I got more listens on that one than like anything in the last year.
I think Jeremy was like half of them because he...
He kept listening
and saying
like,
weird shit.
Tell me more about this person that you thought was a girl but turned out to be a guy.
He'd come up to me and just like start choking me. I'm like, I hate you.
You said too much.
Or he'll be like, I kissed you because I'm Italian. Like, you're literally the fucking worst.
If he starts chugging wine, you know there's a problem.
Bro. It sounds like cunt really loud at dinner. Jesus.
I mean, I could actually imagine him doing that. Just not the wine drinking.
Yeah. Yeah. And unless it's grape juice.
Yeah. If he chugs grape juice, that's okay.
That's right. He doesn't drink. That's why we're saying
Oh,
this.
Yeah. That's why this is funny. He would never. First of all, you should not ever chug wine.
I mean.
It's
gross, but I've done it.
Never. So on airplanes, mm-hmm. usually I'll order like a cocktail mm-hmm. if I'm going on a vacation yeah. or whatever. But I never order. And usually I order wine. That's like my go-to on an airplane. Just
that's
like
fair.
A little glass of wine, like a little sweet buzz, little take a little nap. Mm-hmm. But if I'm on a short flight like to Vegas, I never order wine because you have to chug
it so
it.
Fast.
And I had to do it once with warm red wine. And Ooh. It was like I took the whole thing in my mouth and then my cheeks were big. And then I was like, I don't think I can swallow this.
Just red is so heavy.
It's so heavy.
And warm.
Yeah. And it's like almost like spicy. Like your eyes kind of water a little bit.
I feel like I could do it with a white.
A white would be easier, especially if it was cold.
Yeah. That I've done.
But even still, we went to Spain a few years ago. No, was it Spain? It was one of our first international trips together. I think it was Spain. And on international flights, as you probably now know, going mm-hmm. to Japan, they give you free wine. Like you get your meal and then
we got nothing. But
what? Where would you fly?
We took a budget flight.
What airline was it?
It's new. It's called Zip Japan.
Oh.
It's Japan Air's new line for budget travel. It's all their old planes that don't have like TVs or anything.
Hopefully the doors aren't being sucked out and
Jesus,
your shirt sucked off of your
horrifying.
Body.
And then, but like they don't give you anything for free.
Oh, so like every little thing you get, you
like
have to
water.
Pay.
But it's all in yen, so it's like 50 cents.
Oh, that's not so
And you
bad.
Order it through a QR code. So it's like very easy.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
But yeah.
Well,
so
the,
we didn't get
the
anything
free. The non-budget international airlines.
The nice ones.
Generally. I mean, they're not even nice. It's just usually. Well, I think it's different if it's like marketed as a budget airline. Fair. It's like the Frontier or the Spirit. Oh, it's
dark.
The same when you fly those in, domestically. For sure. So most airlines, it's like 2 hours after takeoff, you'll have like whatever meal is the nearest. So if it's breakfast or lunch or dinner, whatever.
Yeah.
Usually when we fly, we'll do dinner. And then they'll do a round of cocktail or a round of beer and wine after for free. You just get
Whoa,
one.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And then everything after that you pay for. But that it's all free. So it's like, we're not going to not drink free booze. So our thing has always been like, we have our little glass of wine and then it helps us get nice and sleepy.
Yeah.
So we each got a glass of wine and we took one drink and we both looked at each other with like tears in our eyes and like gagged. It like tasted like diesel fuel.
Ew.
It was the most disgusting, but we were not going to not drink our free wine. So every drink we would take, we would look at each other and we would gag and we would choke and we would laugh. So now that's like our joke when we drink like any kind of bad wine. We're like, it's not airplane bad. It's not diesel fuel bad.
Dude, I would have complained. I was like, this tastes like it
was excuse me, ma'am. My free wine is terrible.
Hi.
It didn't come out of a bag. It was in a little bottle.
Mm.
It was terrible.
It is expired.
I still drank it.
And you're here to tell the tale, so I guess it wasn't that bad.
It's probably why I haven't gotten the second round of COVID.
Dude, literally. Mm-hmm. That was a sneaky booster.
Yeah, everybody's gotten sick.
Everyone.
I'm the only person. Me and James were joking the other day that we're like the outbreak monkeys because everybody was sick during Christmas. Not just COVID, but like viruses.
I had like a sore throat that kind of came and went and came and went, but like nothing beyond that. But I did get I don't know how many boosters I've had now, but I also got a flu shot and a booster recently, and I think that helped a lot.
I need to get my flu shot and my pneumonia shot. Mm. I have to get all my things.
My mom was allergic to flu shots forever, so I was just terrified to get them, but I would get them every year without fail. I'd get the flu.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mom told me that they changed the formula, so she's no longer allergic, so I started getting them.
Must be like whatever the base is that's in it.
Thimerosal. It's like usually people with egg allergies.
I was going to say it's probably the protein that's in it.
Yeah, but we're not allergic to eggs, so I don't know.
Weird.
But we don't like eggs. Maybe we're secretly allergic. Maybe
that's the problem.
Our body's like, ew.
So picky. This week is another week of
Pandora's box of topics.
I always want to say secrets, but it's not secrets at all because we're talking about it.
So,
shall we pick a topic?
Yeah.
All right.
You gotta shake it loud enough. Oh, yeah.
It probably sounds terrible. All right. Let me open this little box.
I like this box.
If anyone has any more topics to add, I think we're like, we still got maybe like 10 in here.
Oh, wow.
But we're always taking new ideas.
Love an idea.
Ooh. I don't even remember what's in here. It's been so long.
I have no idea what was in there to begin with. I'm scared.
Spirituality.
Oof.
I think this kind of goes hand in hand with like the ghosty stuff that we were talking about.
Interesting.
We talked, I feel like we talked a little bit about our belief systems in the ghost podcast.
Yeah, to an extent. I mean, we can also talk about like our backgrounds with religion and that kind of stuff.
Do you consider yourself a spiritual person?
No. I know I like ghosts. I don't know. I just have a hard time.
So you don't have, so I think of spirituality as like a guiding, like people that believe in like karma or people that believe in like, if you do something bad, you're going to go to a bad place.
Oh no.
Or like if you do good things, then like the universe will be good to you, or like believing in a higher power or like any of that. That's what I feel like is spirituality.
That's fair. And no, my therapist, I was talking to her about this recently because we're getting real deep into what's going on in my brain. And she was like, oh, that's your core value.
Mm-hmm.
Is that you just don't believe in anything and that you're like nihilistic. I was like, oh, good.
Yeah.
So I don't have any of that in me. It's like, I think there's a desire like, oh, it would be cool if I felt like that. But I just like can't get myself to do it.
Yeah, I feel the same. I was agnostic for a long time.
Yeah.
So let's back up to childhood.
Yeah.
So go for it. My mom was raised really Christian. Like her mom was like Jesus freak. And then my dad was raised super Catholic. His parents were Irish Catholic. like crucifixes on the wall and all of that. So when it came to us, like they both very much believe in God and have their own religious and spiritual beliefs, but they wanted us to be able to choose. Mm-hmm. And like my, neither one of them ever like went to church or anything. They just kind of like believed what they believed inside of them. So as a kid, like I think just most kids, you're like, yeah, God. Like, it's just this idea you hear all the time. So you just, yeah, like, it's think like, it's this thing. It's like Santa Claus or
the Easter Bunny. It's talked about all the time on TV and stuff. So yeah. It's like, oh, yeah.
So you just accept that, like, there is a God. Like, I didn't really know anything about it or, like, who he was or what he did or any of that. So I started going to church with friends because I was like, I want to know, like, what all these religions are. Yeah. So, like, went to, like, the Mormon place. I don't know if it's called church. Tabernacle?
Temple.
Tabernacle. It's like, okay. Hung out with some Mormons. The Mormons were the freaky ones. Like in high school, those were the ones that were like, they were doing worse stuff than anybody. No offense if you're a Mormon, just like where I grew up. They always say like Catholic schoolgirls, but like where I grew up, it was the Mormons. The Mormon kids were the ones getting into the trouble.
Yeah.
My mom did not marry into a Catholic family. My aunt married into a Catholic family. So we would do mass, mm-hmm. like Easter mass mm-hmm. and Christmas mass and all that. So I knew I did not want to be Catholic because that was too much sitting up and standing down and fight and being guilty about everything. And
drinking out of dirty wine cups.
Yeah. And like eating a body of a dude.
Of a dead man.
It's too weird.
Is that weird for you?
Yeah. Okay. Super weird. And then I went so we called them Four Square churches. I don't know if you guys have mm-hmm. four. They're like more of like open-minded Christian churches.
Interesting.
A lot of my friends went to the Beaverton Four Square, which is like in the town I went to.
Yeah.
I like church group just because it was like there were cute boys and we could hang out and it was like just a hang.
Yeah.
Like whatever. It's I like sang camp. In the church choir. Yeah.
It's like it's fun. Your friends
I still
there.
Had no idea anything about the religion.
You're like, I just like being here.
Yeah. Like all my friends are here. This is fun.
Yeah.
But I never had like the call. I never developed any kind of faith.
It was like in your bones.
Yeah.
Did you pray as a kid or
anything? No.
Mm-mm. Not a thing.
I just remember like at some point, like and maybe in teenhood, it was like I started calling myself agnostic because mm-hmm. I'm like, I believe in something. Mm-hmm. I just don't know what it is.
Right.
And then as I got older, it was like, I don't think I believe in anything, mm-hmm. but I don't want to let that go. And then there's always the feeling of like, I don't know, like, is karma real? Like, if I do something bad, I think from like the days of like being into witchy stuff.
Yeah.
The like, it'll come back at you three times, right. like that kind of stuff. Like, even like with the witchy stuff, I'm like, it's fun. And like aesthetically, it's cool. And like burning candles and like doing all of that. But then I was like, I don't believe in a god, let alone many gods or goddesses.
Demigods.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. Yeah, I get that.
And then at some point, I just kind of realized like, I don't believe in any of it. And then the label of atheist is so aggressive. Like people get really weird when you say you're atheist.
Yeah, they think it's like
evil. You're a devil worshiper. Yeah.
Even Satanism is not devil worshiping.
No. And you can't be a Satan worshiper if you're an atheist because you don't believe in Satan. Like you don't believe in any of it.
So the Christian LeVay. Oh my God. Anton LeVay.
Wouldn't that be interesting if his first name was actually Christian?
So sick.
He is
Jesus
the,
LeVay.
What is he? The leader of the Church of Satan? The leader?
Yeah, he was the creator, the leader creator, okay. of the Church of Satan. They actually don't believe in Satan, like his version. There's no Satan. There's no God. There's nothing. You are God, essentially. Mm-hmm. And there are like, quote unquote, like rules, almost like a commandment kind of a thing. But it's all like, do good things to others. And like, unless they want to destroy you.
And like you don't have to like kneel down to some like
no,
all it's just, being thing.
You decide what's best, but just like live your life with good intent, essentially, mm-hmm. from what I read from, I have his book somewhere. Yeah. So it's like not even that. And people are like, that's scary.
Did you ever see the documentary Hail Satan?
I don't think so.
That shit was so funny. You have to watch it.
Okay.
So it's like it's Satanism, basically like modern day Satanism, mm-hmm. but it's more like anti-religion. Mm-hmm. Like it's more like what you guys are doing is kind of fucked up. So we're gonna like do our own thing that's not involved with that. So it also has nothing to do with Satan. If anybody is listening that has really strong religious beliefs, I think religion is lovely for a lot of people, but I also think that organized religion comes with a lot of bad. But in this documentary, they're not trying to like troll the church, but in some parts they kind of do. Mm-hmm. So there's some city in the South where they have like a statue of Jesus or God or something. Uh-huh. And so basically they're saying like, you can put your, like, the statue in the city is like, you can erect statues of your religion.
Sounds hot.
So they were like, cool, we'll erect a statue of Baphomet.
Oh, yeah.
So I remember hearing about this. This gigantic statue.
Yeah.
And then it's a really, like, conservative, southern, religious town. But there's nothing in the statute that says that it can't be Satan. So it's like, they don't even really believe in Satan, but they're just kind of like, trolling the church,
using a character,
yeah,
that represents evil.
So the whole documentary is, it's funny and it's smart. There's also, did you see Religulous?
I think so, years ago.
That was Bill Maher's.
Yes.
And he trolls religion hard.
Dude, Jesus he, camp.
Yes.
And killed me. The children just like crying. Yes. I'm like, oh no.
That's my thing is like.
It's scary.
The fundamentalist religious people mm-hmm. that like. I've been watching so many cult documentaries, like same. Religious cult documentaries. And I'm like, it's so sad that like, there's so many people that don't know anything else. Like they're just indoctrinated into this one thing. And it's like, believe this. And there's so much fear.
Yeah.
Like it's not out of love. It's out of fear.
Especially pre-internet.
Mm-hmm.
Like now people can look things up. And
yeah. But see, now it's the opposite because now there's so many fundamentalists mm-hmm. on. True. So people that live in an echo chamber are surrounding themselves on TikTok and whatever with these yeah. people that.
But if a kid is born into a family and they are like, maybe I don't.
They're curious.
Believe in that. Yeah. I'm going to see what else is out there. Like at least there's like this space where they could possibly like.
But
find
a lot of
like
real fundamentalists, they don't believe in technology.
Oh, that's true.
They don't have internet like, and computers and cell phones and like even fundamentalist Christians like the 18 and counting family.
Oh, 19 and counting.
19 and counting.
Dude.
Yeah.
That was a sad documentary. Happy Shiny People.
We just watched it last week. Yeah. That's actually what I was talking about with like mm-hmm. fundamentalist families.
It was a lot. That was a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
Because I used to watch it. I remember watching it growing up. And I'd be like, this is like, what a unique situation to mm-hmm. be born into.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd watch it more out of curiosity. And then when stuff started coming out and I was just like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And then learning about the money side of it, it's like, there's always something weird going on, yeah. unfortunately.
I mean, that's the thing too. Like James and I were talking last night about, we went to dinner for mm-hmm. to celebrate my graduating. Woo-hoo. And so we were just like talking at dinner and somehow it always comes back to religion with us because we just like to talk about it. but we were talking about the Crusades, how the Crusades. So basically Knights Templar, mm-hmm. they were like the first international. They invented the first international banking system.
Boo.
So it used to be that like, yes, you would have maybe like some sort of bank in your city or your town, but say you wanted to make a pilgrimage from like England to Israel or Palestine too soon.
I didn't even put that together.
I just said those two words together.
Yikes.
I'm not going into that.
Your eyes got
on here.
So
anyways,
big.
I was like, oh no, what have I said? But anyways, they would pilgrimage out to there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like such a long trek that would take months and months and months, sometimes years. So if you're moving out there, pilgrimaging out there, what are you going to do? Pack all your riches in a chest? Like you're going to get robbed by bandits.
Yeah.
So the Knights Templar were so powerful and so strong. They would be like, hey, we're going to give you a note and we're going to keep your riches.
Mm.
And then when you get there, you'll have whatever you had here there.
Interesting.
So it was like they were smart in that way.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is with money comes power. And so the Knights Templar started getting super powerful and they started becoming more rich, more powerful than the church and then the kings. And so the church and the kings were like, we can't have this. And so they basically like destroyed them. So then we were talking about how the church has always been really fixated on power and money.
Mm-hmm.
And like now you have like the evangelists that are like millionaires.
Especially
and they're
the
just having people throw money in pots.
Yeah.
And
well, they
it's
do it at
buying
Catholic,
their Rolexes.
Catholic school or Catholic
they do it at all of them.
Well, yeah.
Even the Christian churches, it was past the pot,
yeah,
down the pew.
That little basket.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, I have like a penny. I don't know. I'm a kid.
Yeah.
Like, here's bubblegum.
Here's like, my Monopoly money.
Literally. And then suddenly, like, the church is really nice and fancy again. I'm like, how'd this happen?
Yeah.
Wow, it's all your money.
Or the pastor's driving a Mercedes or who's wearing like a Prada suit with a pinky ring with a diamond in it.
Wow, so very specific.
Yeah, I have a very specific image. I have like a Southern Baptist preacher
Ooh.
In my head.
Okay.
I don't know. We're role playing.
You are. Oh.
I just feel like this is turning into like bashing on religion, which
I don't
want to do.
No.
The thing that I am more, I don't want to say bashful because that's a whole different meaning, but
shy?
More than, no.
Oh, like full of bashing?
Yes, exactly. I do not mean shy. The thing that I more bash in my life is just like the fundamentalist religion, the religion that's like fear-based and like, yeah. like the conversion, not conversion.
Saving?
No, when they try to make people not gay.
Oh, it's conversion therapy.
Conversion therapy.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Like that kind of stuff where it's like people can't just live their lives. Yeah, and that's like mentally, the thing.
It's like, yeah, it's not
And good. like some churches like require that you pay a certain percent of your income to them.
That's,
no matter how much money you have.
That's when things get tricky and like scary, like with Scientology. Mm-hmm. Like I used to work with a guy. This is a wild story. I worked at Jamba Juice as a teen. Mm-hmm. And one of my coworkers, I don't remember his name for the life of me, but he was a very nice, normal guy. One day I noticed he started growing a long beard. And I was like, that's gross. We sell smoothies. You're picking fruit. And then he started talking about this new group of people he was hanging out with. And come to find, it was a cult.
Mm-hmm.
Out in, I think it was like San Diego County or Riverside County, and they owned like an avocado farm.
I mean, sign me up. I'm in.
Right?
I can't grow much of a beard.
But I guess like, well, eventually he like went missing.
Oh.
And he joined them and just stopped showing up to work.
Wow.
His mom like called us.
Oh, that's
and was like,
sad.
Do you know where my son, like, do you know who he's with? Like, do you know anything about, like, I want to do an intervention. I'm like, I am so, because I answered the phone. I was like, mm-hmm. I am so sorry. I'm like, and I told her what I did know. But other than that, and what he told me from it, though, is like men and women live separately unless you're married.
Mm.
And it was like, you also have a communal bank account, like that kind of stuff. Mm. And then in order for the group to make money, they have the avocado farm. So there was like a whole system.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just interesting watching the progression of him. Like, oh, I'm hanging out with these new people. And then all of a sudden he just got like, I don't know, his eyes just like kind of lost there. A little bit of sparkle,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then all of it, he was just like saying weird shit. And then poof. I hope he's doing well wherever he is.
That's so weird.
Regardless, wherever, if he's selling avocados for his religious cult or whatever. And no, I don't want to bash religion either. I came from a very religious family.
You were raised Catholic, right?
Yeah, we're Italian Catholic, and my grandma was Polish Catholic. We went to church on Sundays. And then when I think it was like second grade, I started going to something called CCD.
Is that like confirmation?
It's like a class.
Oh, okay.
And you do it for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd go, I think it was once a week during the school year. And I go, and we have these workbooks and we watch movies and then we like write about stuff. And then like every year you get a different book and you learn more. And then at one point you go to communion,
mm-hmm.
which is in the third grade.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you buy like a little dress or whatever,
a little
outfit.
White fluffy dress.
A little white dress and with a veil. I look mm-hmm. like a child bride.
Yeah, you're marrying Jesus.
So or God. Hot. But then I was really into Evita because Evita had just come out.
The Madonna movie?
Yeah.
Nice.
And I would like be in my room in my dress being like, don't cry for me, Argentina. So I was like, clearly I had a lot of other things on my mind. But my mom has this amazing like picture of me like with my fucking like gap in the middle of my teeth, like smiling and like looking up and like
how
this
cute.
Fucking dress. It's wild. So I did that and then I continued because you just keep going.
Yeah.
And then once you hit 17, you get confirmed.
But you choose if you're getting confirmed, right? Or you chose.
I mean,
didn't you choose not to get confirmed?
No, my mom was very adamant.
Mm.
And at this point, like I had started kind of questioning things fairly mm-hmm. early on, but like my family was very Catholic, like grandpa, God first, then yourself, mm-hmm. then family kind of a thing. And like, mm-hmm. his was a little backwards and a little weird and it was very dominating. And like my cousin even went into the priesthood for a while.
Dang.
I took his gecko for a bit while he was in the priesthood, but then he came out and now he's a Catholic school teacher, but he's married with kids, whatever. But everything was about God and there was crucifixes on the walls and like we'd go every Sunday, whatever. But then as I got older, I was just like, I don't know if this is for me. And I gave it I went to camps. Mm-hmm. I gave it a shot, mm-hmm. as you know, as much as I could. Like, I like learning about stuff. So that's the thing, is
you either believe or you don't.
I just couldn't get. I wanted to, mm-hmm. when I was younger, to like please my family, but mm-hmm. I just like I couldn't do it. I couldn't force it. Mm-hmm. And it's like I felt guilty. Mm-hmm. And there's the Catholic guilt. Catholic. You know what I mean? Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh my God, I still live with that shit today. So it's like, I don't know. But then when I hit 17, it was time to get confirmed. And I told my mom, I respect the fact that you are religious. I respect the fact that the family's religious. It's just not for me. So this will probably be like one of the last times I do attend like a church mm-hmm. thing. I think she was sad, but like also like, what's she going to do? You mm-hmm. know, physically force me to like yeah. go to church. But
have faith, goddamn it.
What the fuck? I'm like, no. So I picked my name because you have to pick another name. Mm-hmm. And I picked a Bernadette.
Oh.
Is my Catholic name.
I like that.
I chose it.
Because she was a whore, right?
She was a prostitute. And I was like, that's sick. And I was like, haha, that was my joke to myself. So yeah. But you know, as I go, my family's still very Catholic. Like my cousin had like a 2-hour long like Catholic wedding.
My best friend's first wedding was Caitlin, who has been on this show. Yeah. Her first wedding was Catholic.
Dude, but here we go. Here's the kicker. His wife is Vietnamese. So it's English mass. And then it was Vietnamese mass. And I was like, I had to pee so bad. But, you know, I mean, I love my family. And my cousin was ordained. And when I got married, he married me. And I was just like, hey, like, respectfully, just like.
No religious stuff.
And he understood. It's like, I will respect you as long as you respect me. Mm-hmm. And as long as you're not hurt. Like physically abusing somebody or psychologically hurting someone.
Or judging.
Or just judging. Yeah. It's like if it's not affecting you negatively and you're not affecting anyone negatively, like, okay.
That's how I feel. Like, and I feel like I have friends and family members that are super religious that mm-hmm. are lovely people. And I think that their beliefs are beautiful. Like sometimes I even wish, like I wish I had faith. Mm-hmm. Like that's why I was agnostic for so long. Cause I was like, I want to believe. And then at some point I'm like, I just don't like, there's just nothing. I'm dead inside. There's just nothing in there that believes. But like Caitlin, like when I first met Caitlin, she was super Catholic, like mm-hmm. same thing, church every Sunday. And this was in our 20s. She lost her virginity on her wedding night. Sweet like, angel. She was, like, very, very Catholic.
I mean, yeah.
And, like, I was talking with James about it last night. Like, we never talked about it. Like, I knew she was Catholic. I knew she was very Catholic. Mm-hmm. But it was never a conversation. It wasn't like she had to, like, convince me or convert me. Like, we didn't even talk about, like, what do you believe? I don't know. What do you believe? It wasn't even anything. It was, like, we just kind of knew what the other person thought. And that was that.
Yeah. I get that. And, like, I think that's the best way to be, because when you do become, I think my biggest thing is like when you become aggressive and it angry, it shuts the
other person down.
It's not only that, but like you're kind of fighting fire with fire. Totally. It's like both sides we are going to be offended. We were just talking
about that with the friendships. We were just, before we started recording.
We were talking about some stuff.
Yeah, we were talking about how I am a person that's very fiery and I'm really aggressive. So if I surround myself with more aggressive people, oh, James just got home. That's what that sound was. I thought it was the heat coming on. I just turned the heat off.
It's just James. There is heat in the house. It's James.
Oh, it's fire.
Fire.
Anyways, okay. So I was just saying how I am like more of an aggressive person. So mm-hmm. if I surround myself with aggressive people, it makes me aggressive.
Yeah.
So I choose friends and a husband that are mellow so that it like mellows out my aggressiveness. But you're right. When people that are just like want to be combative all the time, that just want to argue. Like, I'm not going to make somebody that's religious into an atheist.
No.
And conversely, somebody that is Catholic is not going to make me Catholic.
No.
You believe what you believe.
Sure, you can maybe like, if someone's curious and you maybe give them some info and they're like, oh, this is great. Like, thanks for telling me. Mm-hmm. But if you're just like saying stuff to know that you're making someone else upset or to like try to prove a point, it's just going to backfire.
Yeah.
And it's sad because so many of like, you know, what's going on now and everything is just like a lot of wars and stuff are based on religion. And it's frustrating because at the end of the day, I think religion, no matter what it is, it's like you're just looking for some peace mm-hmm. in life and give yourself some kind of meaning. And it's like, who cares if that person is Muslim or if that person is Jewish or that person is Kabbalah? Is that, people still do that? Is that a thing still?
I'm not sure about that one.
It was a celebrity thing for a minute.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. It's like, If that gives someone peace and makes them do good, good. Mm-hmm. But if it makes you a bad person, it's probably not good.
An asshole is an asshole. Literally. Who they pray to.
Literally. And like the money thing, and that's where, you know.
That's where it gets gross.
The money thing, and yeah. Then also like child molestation stuff, especially in the Catholic church. Too. Like,
well, and even just the rape. And not even just Catholic, like the fundamentalists that marry 12-year-old girls.
That's
and
scary.
Have 15, 12-year-old wives, and there's so much rape.
I'm going to play devil's advocate just because.
Okay.
Like back in the day, like. People died so young.
But the difference it was two 12-year-olds getting married.
Right.
But even in like the Elizabethan times or like the Middle Ages, there still was like they would get married by proxy.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say like 30-year-old dude is going to have a 9-year-old wife.
Mm-hmm.
The 9-year-old wife's family would send an ambassador that would stand in her place and they would get married. And the ambassador would be like, I do. And then... Yes, back then, I think the age of sex was like 12 or 13. I think it was first blood, but usually it was standard that it was 12 or 13. But you're right. Back then, the lifespan was so less,
shorter.
And it was also like just socially acceptable. Now, it's not okay for a 60-year-old man to have 12-year-old wives.
Right. But the scary part is that like these children are born into it, so they don't know any difference.
Totally.
They don't know that it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas an adult, you should be
it's
aware.
It's up to the adult to be... guiding children
away from his penis.
Yeah.
Like not towards his penis. Yeah. Like away.
You're guiding this child in the wrong direction.
Don't look into the eye.
Like a magnet.
It's so gross.
The tractor beam.
But I mean, like not everyone does that too. So it's like, I don't always want to be like,
no, I'm just saying those are the parts of religion that like make me want to be anti-religion, which sucks.
Yeah.
Because I do think that there are so many aspects of religion that are so lovely, like the sense of community.
Yeah.
Like when my grandpa died, like I wanted nothing more than to think that like he's up in the clouds somewhere and when I die, we're going to be reunited, or that like his ghost is here watching over me, or that if I talk to him, he's going to hear me. Like I want to believe in those things. Mm-hmm. I think that part of faith is like a really lovely thing.
Yeah, it can be very beautiful. And like if that gives someone purpose and meaning and everything, like fantastic.
Yeah.
Like my mom is fine. She's still Catholic. She goes to church every other Sunday, mind you. I remember she sent it for Catholic dating site at one point, but she wasn't like Catholic enough.
Oh, wait, no, that's the Christian one.
No, Plenty of Fish is Christian.
Yeah.
I don't really know what the difference
Catholic
is.
She wasn't Catholic enough.
She wasn't Catholic. She didn't go every Sunday. It was every other Sunday. Mm. And, you know, people just can be more extreme. Like my aunt goes every single day.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's wild.
Dang.
And like follows around this like one particular priest. Just to the point where it's like kind of weird.
Ooh.
Yeah, we don't.
She wants to get a little priest strange.
It's not going to happen. Like, I can tell you now. Not in a million years. But
people do get obsessive with religion, though. And people get obsessive with, which is actually a topic of spirituality, like people that do like stones or crystals and incense and sage. And let me tell you, I don't think there's anything that smells fucking worse than sage.
The lady.
Oh my God. So she does Palo Santo, which I don't think smells as bad, but it's still like stifling. Like it takes the air, the oxygen out of.
Yeah. Okay. So we can branch out of from.
But
so
like
religion
is, there's definitely like crazies in there.
Crazies everywhere.
There's crazies in spirituality too. I mean, that's where a lot of the cults come from, where they're like kind of anti-organized religion. So then they're like organized.
So then we're gonna drink silver and turn purple and live
totally.
Be dead in a room.
I talked like, about that one on my last podcast.
Horrifying. I had heard about that before, a lot, like many years ago, but I never. There wasn't like images of it and stuff. So then finally, like watching. Because I think I heard it on a podcast or something. And I was like, oh my God.
It like actually made me feel physically sick. If you guys don't know what we're talking about the Mother God documentary.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Which I did talk about a little bit last week. But it's the thing is, I was talking about this with a client the other day, is like, there's some aspects of some cults that I kind of get. Like I watched The Vow about the NXIVM cult.
Oh.
And it kind of started as an MLM where they were very much like, if you're at a crossroads in your life and you don't know what to do, like come, we'll help you get you inspired and you have community and all this stuff. Like James and I started watching it. It's so the Mother God one was only like 4 episodes, but this one was like 8. So the first couple episodes is just telling about like how it started. And even James was like, this sounds great. So I was like, yeah, like I get how they got bodies in the door. Mm-hmm. And yeah, at some point it flipped and whatever. But with the Mother God thing, like, I don't understand how anyone even was like,
oh, yeah, this might
be a great idea.
Oh, then, you know, Dad God or whatever the other guy's name is or whatever.
It's Father, like, God.
Just change.
There was just meta Father, yeah. Multiverse Father God. Because she decided she needed a new Father God, yeah. So she had to boot him.
You know, because she...
But he's God, so she can't, like, you know, boot him.
You can't, like, break up with God.
No, you just got to get a new God. You're younger, like, sexier, this is God. This universe God, and that's other universes God.
It's so funny. Yeah, it's like that.
There's just wackadoos so with anywhere. But I think that's the thing with all of it is, like... The wackadoos, and whether it's the spiritual or the religion or whatever, mm-hmm. it's just people wanting to believe so badly and like wanting to belong to something so badly.
Literally. I mean, that goes without saying, like, and other things are also that way. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many kinds of groups.
Oh, yeah. Like people that get really into straight edge, or people that like so I'm super punk rock, people that like gatekeep certain scenes or music scenes or... Like, the pinup world is like, oh, you're not wearing vintage or, like, whatever.
Right.
People get fanatical.
So there's actually, I was going to mention this because I think it's a great podcast. I listened to Trust Me, Cults, Extreme Belief, and Manipulation.
Ooh, that's interesting.
So it's put on by two, like,
I'm going to add it to my list.
Two women, like, do it. And one's ex-Mormon, I believe, and one's ex-Mennonite.
Ooh, the Mennonites are another, they're fundamentalists. They're part
of, like, they're an offset of Amish, but mm-hmm. they have access to, like, electric, like, some, you know, modern amenities. But yeah, that isn't it very interesting because they talk about MLMs, they talk about CrossFit.
Being totally. A thing.
Like,
CrossFit people are intense.
It's scary.
So, James's best friend, Adam, who you met, him and his wife did CrossFit for a while. Mm. And so, Adam was like, you should come to the gym. So, James did. And he was like, yeah, I did it for like a week. And I thought my body was going to fall off, so I stopped doing it. It's too intense.
So also, a lot of it's, like, not up to code. Not that this is, like, a spiritual thing, but, like, just saying, I went to a place that was, like, kind of set up, like, a CrossFit gym.
Oh, but it was, like, dangerous, like, the way it was set up.
Literally.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't at this particular class, but a friend of mine was, and, like, there was something, like, attached to the wall.
With, like, a screw.
I don't know, but it was like an elastic 3M hook, thing.
Like your antlers.
But like it snapped off the wall and fucking hit her in the face, oh, and like God. She never went back because like her face started bleeding.
Yeah.
I mean, it was wild. I mean, this guy had no money. It was like this tiny little warehouse and he was just trying. But
that's the thing is those groups are people that just want to belong and want to fit in and want to be loved and have a sense of community so badly.
Yeah.
That it's wild.
True. But listen to that podcast if you do like these kinds of things. They're great.
Yeah.
They're really smart and they're funny and they're cute and they're not annoying, which is something that I find sometimes on podcasts. I'm like, can I take this person's voice?
That is such a big thing. Hour? So there's this podcast. I'm just going to say what it's called because I don't think anybody will ever listen to this podcast and care. It's called Harlots. So, you know, Aaron Mankey, who does Lore, he produces. So Lore is like, it's about like folklore and whatever. There was a show on the Amazon Prime they made from it. But he produces a ton of podcasts now, and they're all kind of like dark and weird. Like my favorite one is called Noble Blood. It's about like nobles and the dark history of nobles. They're all based on like history and dark weird stuff. So Harlots was the newest one this year. So I was really excited because it's about like mistresses and prostitutes and whatever, like from times past, from history. The girl who narrates it, like the stories are great.
Yeah.
But she's very dramatic and her voice is really high. And he went to this thing, but did he really go to the thing? And it's like so, she sounds like a high school theater student. Gross. And I went to look at the reviews because I'm like, is it just me? Am I just an asshole? And like literally every review was like, get a new narrator.
That's a bummer.
I listened to 3 episodes and I really was into what it was about.
Yeah.
I had to unfollow it and I felt bad because I love those kind of podcasts, but it makes or breaks.
I wonder if there's a way you can like set up your stereo to like
do it at a different speed.
Like slowing down a record. Yeah. So actually you can do that with podcasts.
I'm just saying.
I discovered this one day because I was listening to a skincare podcast I listened to. It's two girls.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, they are talking really fast today. Oh. And I realized I had hit the 1.25 speed up button. Oh, so on funny. Apple Podcasts, I think it's maybe for people, if somebody's going too fast, you can slow it down a little bit. Or if you like are pressed on time and you want to listen to
let's
it.
Let's go.
I mean, you can do double time. It's like full on like chipmunk voices when you do it at full
That's
speed
wild.
So you can speed up or slow down.
I wonder if maybe you can slow it down and it won't be
or
annoying.
It'll just prolong the just pain
really long annoying.
Oh my god,
not only is she annoying in real time, she's also annoying slow
and then it takes twice as long.
Sorry bro.
So yes, off topic of spirituality, but yes, voices can make or break. I always think that about this podcast. I'm like, I don't, hopefully people like my voice. I have had people say that my voice is like ASMR, like it puts people to sleep. I'm like,
cool.
I've had people like, I keep trying to get through it, but I keep falling asleep.
I'm like, sick, dude. Maybe keep that to yourself. Damn.
But they're always sweet and they like backpedal, like, no, it's like soothing. Like it's nice. It's not like I'm like, bored. I'm like, yeah, right.
Sure. Okay. I was going to bring up tarot cards,
yeah,
and stuff like that. So yeah, it can be a form of an offshoot.
That's kind of what I was talking about with like the crystals and the sage and like all of that.
I enjoy pulling cards. Mm-hmm. I read Letterman, which is like
David Letterman.
Letterman. I think I'm saying it right. I might be saying.
Is it a type of tarot card?
Essentially, it's like an easier version of tarot to read, and you can do like a nine card pull. So my friend Sarah Lyons, she's an illustrator.
We love Sarah.
She lives on 29 Palms, owns a store called Scorpion Lollipop. If you're ever
it's
out there,
very
it's
cute.
So cute. Shout out to Sarah and her husband Josh
and fish sandwiches
and tin fish sandwiches. But they're great. They're local artists that I've been friends with for a long time. But Sarah did a really amazing Letterman deck, and I think it's sold on Amazon if you are interested.
She created the deck.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
And so now it's being sold on Amazon, and you can get it. It's basically just like she illustrates adorably. So all of these cards are illustrated, and like, you know, there's like the death, whatever, the mountain, the dog, whatever. And then there's like a book, an illustrated book that has all the meanings and whatnot. So I used to pull those like once a week and be like, let's just see. Mm-hmm. But I lost it in the move. Aww. So I've been using regular cards. I have Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like regular cards. So I've been using those. But it's like, do I necessarily believe all of it? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But if anything, it's almost like putting like a little spark in your brain, like, oh, things will get better.
Like setting intentions.
Yeah, kind of. It's like the mountain, like you might be having a hard tough time right now, but like something, and it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, so it like gives you something,
a bit of hope,
or
it's terrible and you're like, oh god, I'm gonna die tomorrow. But I don't know, I think it's like, it's all what you make of it. Some people believe it wholeheartedly, which is a little interesting. But then, you know, I've also been read, had my palms read in New Orleans, which was amazing. At Marie Madame Louveau's shop.
Oh, cool.
I did a project on her in college, and I literally made a voodoo doll and like photographed it all cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I was like, I waited until I went to New Orleans to ever get my palm read. And that's the first place I got it. And he like spoke in tongues. And I was like, is a goat going to come out right now? Like, I am terrified. It was only supposed to be
sacrifice someone.
Dude, it was only supposed to be 20 minutes. I was in there for an hour.
Dang.
And he followed me out. He was like, wait, there's more. And I was like,
I don't know if I want
it. What's happening? But yeah, I mean, all that kind of stuff, I think it's interesting to look into. It's interesting to like dabble in, and you know.
I think like tarot cards and psychics and palm readers and all that. Like, I've been to like events where they'll have someone doing that stuff, and like, I always do it for fun. I'm not like anti that. But then I also think that that industry becomes predatory too. Like when there was like the 900 number psychics and.
Oh yeah, Miss Chloe.
Yeah. And like, I remember like my grandma had like a psychic she would like go to and like based her whole life, like any new thing, she'd have to be like, I have to consult my psychic. And
yeah.
So
I get that too.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like anything, there's always like some dark, weird.
That's version the thing is, I think that anything that involves faith or spirituality, there's always going to be people that want it so bad that there's going to be people that take advantage of those people. Yeah.
For sure. Especially old women. They're like,
yeah.
I'll call my psychic.
Like, I think the idea of like witchcraft and like all of that is like mm-hmm. cool. Like, aesthetically, it's cool. Mm-hmm. Like, I think like all the books look cool, tarot cards look cool. Yeah. Like, I don't believe in any of it, but mm-hmm. like, I don't think it's harmful. Like you were saying, like if it gives you a little hope or whatever, even if you like run your life on your tarot cards, like who cares as long as that card doesn't tell you to go kill somebody. But I think yeah. generally like
don't the murder.
Spiritual side of all of that is like more hippy dippy.
Yeah.
More like, it's let's loose. Just love everyone. Like, I don't think you find as much like believe this or burn in hell like you do mm-hmm. with like more extreme religions.
Yeah. Like, and also if you do want to read tarot cards, you're supposed to be gifted it. So I gave our friend Nikki one. Uh-huh. I bought her one when we were in Joshua Tree. Uh-huh. And that was her first tarot card deck.
Interesting.
Yeah, so my friend Sarah gave me a deck. But it's also fun to do late at night with girlfriends and you're drunk on wine like and you're like, board. This is great.
Yeah. You know,
don't do a Ouija board. Don't do it. Too scary.
Oh, man. I always had Ouija boards. Well, I remember my sophomore homecoming. We all stayed the night at one friend's house, like all the couples. Mm-hmm. And she had had like a homemade Ouija board that had been God. In her family from like the 50s. So it was like That's a plank terrifying. Of wood. And like we did the whole thing and
nothing How was happened. It?
We were fine. It moved because somebody Spoopy. Was moving it. And I don't even remember what it said or what happened. But I think Ouija boards are fun. But also I don't believe in any of it. So
it is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be entertainment value. It can be what you base your life on. It can be whatever. I mean, spirituality is different for everybody.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Just don't hurt other people that's because they thing. Don't believe what you believe.
I think that's the moral of the story is like, be firm in your own beliefs and just let everyone else be.
Yeah. Just respect each other.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Well,
not that, to sound like a hippie, but.
No, but I mean, that's kind of like, that's the whole point of it. It's supposed to be about love, not yeah. about the hellfire. Kindness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stupid
Anywho.
Well, we're about at the end, so I think that's a perfect time to say don't be an asshole.
Here's Cherokee waving
in life like, and religion. Yes, oh, and here is me.
Cherokee waving like a maniac. I learned.
Create
you're
wind.
Fanning it. Okay.
Trying to so break wind. Hear my wind.
Is that what you said?
Here's me farting in the microphone like a maniac. See you guys next time.
Hi, I'm 35.